And good morning, and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ, and we're glad you were here this morning. The message that we just had this morning was The Law Part 2, a timeless message, a really good one, enjoyed it. No, the video quality wasn't real great, but the audio quality was good, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have Part 3 next week. We've got a lot going on this morning. We recorded a new message with Brother Zach yesterday, got that done late yesterday afternoon, and its title is Authority. And I also told everybody that we would have episode 2 from Scriptures from America, and got a lot of feedback and a lot of people, and we're just going to try to play all of those throughout the next couple of weeks. So bear with us. We're doing things a little bit different. Let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we rejoice, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your hands being at work. We thank you, Father, for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we come before your throne today with joyful hearts and gladness, and Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing. Lord, we ask that you continue to give us more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, more power and authority over the enemies. Lord, we pray, Father, that the enemies, you know who they are and you know what they're doing. Lord, we pray, let them be caught in their plots and continue to expose them for the deeds that they've been responsible for. We pray that those deeds done in darkness, Lord, that you bring them to light and that you just continue to deal with them as you see fit, Lord. We pray that you continue to awaken your people across this land, and we thank you for the work that you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, we're going to have a message, Authority, by Brother Zach, and then we're going to have an episode 2, and we'll be back for communion. Do appreciate and thanks for all the comments and for people reaching out to me over last week's message. Was hoping to have another one this week, but just the time did not allow. And so me and Zach have been trying to tag team it. Both of us are very busy, and this worked out. And I told him I could get one done, but it was gonna be tough. And he said that he had one that he had already put together, so it worked out really well. And so we're gonna have that. We'll have this message. It is titled Authority.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, July 26, 2026, we here at the La Porte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here today. We're glad that you're able to join us, and we begin by reading and defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. So in order to know him, you have to know his Word. You have to understand it. You have to know who Jesus was sent for. You have to know his politics. And if you know all those things, then you can be an effective soldier for Jesus Christ. And you can get that seal that Jesus Christ puts on you through baptism of the remission of sin. So what we're going to talk about next week, we're going to get into the Ahab and Jezebel story. And that is a story about a king of Israel that was rebellious to the Lord. And he married a woman that was rebellious and basically coached him into rebellion. And he was one of those guys that, you know, led Israel astray and basically led them to their demise. And he was the king. So for those of you that are out there that don't think that our Lord and Savior is political on a national level, I would strongly encourage you to read the book of Judges, the books of Kings, all the ones about King David, Solomon, and you can see the political influence that the leaders of Israel had on Israel and Judah and led them astray as a nation, which ultimately led them to being taken captive. The title of this message today is about authority, and it's on a national authority level. And if you know anything about our country's history, in the beginning and when it was founded, our founding fathers were very much into biblical law, and they based the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a lot of their charters on biblical law. And the reason why they did that was to ensure that there was longevity in this nation, that this nation was approved as a whole by God, and they set it up to be a Christian, God-fearing country. Those guys, I believe, and there's like so much stuff out there now that would make you believe otherwise, but if you read the book, The Light and the Glory, those founding fathers understood that we were the second Jerusalem. They understood that by this country being founded and birthed in a day on July 4th, which we had a few weeks ago, was fulfilling prophecy. They understood that. The Quakers understood it. The Pilgrims understood it. Their charters that they did, that they wrote up and got approved by the King of England, they understood. So they understood that with the name of Jesus Christ, there was much authority. And they understood what faith was and that they had to walk in faith. They couldn't just pray for it. They couldn't just hope for it. They had to go out and take it because, like what Jesus said, you know, you guys are going to do greater things than I did, you know? And he didn't tell us that we couldn't do anything that we were incapable of doing, you know? When you go out to work at, you know, whatever your job is, if you own a business, whatever, you know if you do a certain action, you will be rewarded with money. And then you will be able to do what you need to do. But if you do not do that, then the cash flow stops and your bills don't get paid and you end up having a lifetime subscription to go to nowhere. You actually have to do something. You have to understand what you're doing. And what we live in today is, yes, Jesus Christ was born. He started a ministry. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. And as it says in Romans, that wife was released from the law. Well, who's that wife? That's the 10 northern tribes. So that way, when that husband dies, she's released from the law and she's no longer called an adulteress. So that way she may be joined to another man. That's all in Romans. So if that woman, that wife, or Israel chooses to be joined to that husband, Jesus Christ, the great I am God, she has the opportunity to do that. How does she do that? How does an individual, an Israelite, do that? Through baptism of the remission of sins. Then is what happens. There's a transfer of authority. I am under the impression that we are in two different authorities. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, Satan's authority still exists here on earth. Just take a look around. What do you have? You know, you have a Baal-worshipping political system. You have Baal priests behind the pulpits, what Pastor Peters used to call dirty birds. And are they promoting the political system of Jesus Christ? No, they're not. They are actually under Satan's authority. What do they tell you to do? They tell you to accept Jesus. They tell you that his law was packed up on the cross. That's what they tell you. But that's not what you are instructed to do. That's not what I am instructed to do. We're instructed to do is what Peter said in the very first missionary sermon that took place. He said, repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promise is for you and for those who are all who are far off. And when he started up, he said, he's talking, let all of the house of Israel know. That's who he's talking to. The promise is for you. So we're going to talk about authority, Satan's authority. And through the crucifixion, Jesus Christ gave us an option to get out from underneath it. It's still here on this earth. You know it's true because he has all of his pastors. He has his political system. He's got his Trumps. He's got his Netanyahu's. He's got his Haggies and all them other clown preachers doing his bidding and work to deceive the masses. But that's not what we're here to do. We're here to tell you the truth so that way you may be free. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And I begin by reading. Then Jesus, so let me give you a little bit of a backstory. Jesus was led out into the wilderness, and he had been praying and fasting for 40 days. And it says, and he was hungry. Okay? I've never personally fasted 40 days, but I would imagine you're probably in a physical weakened state and a mental weakened state. Probably, well, you're probably thinking about getting something to eat. I'm just going to say that. So at this point, Satan comes up and he is going to take this opportunity to tempt Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I begin by reading. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, why would Jesus say that? Because Jesus understood that it wasn't about him. See, that's the thing. Most people are literally only thinking about themselves. That's why most people go to church. They want to get fire insurance, and they want to feel good, and they want to have an insurance policy so that way after they die, they're not in eternal torment. That's what they're thinking about themselves first. But, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your might and power. These are the top two commandments. It's not about you. It's not about me. Jesus understood it wasn't about him. It was about the mission that he had to accomplish. And that was to release Israel from the law. How was he going to do that? By dying. He understood that. Mission focus. Verse 5. Then the devil took him along into the holy city and had him stand at a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and on their hands they will lift you up so that way you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, God's the boss, and I'm not going to test him. Because he was trying to, get him to see if God was really on his side. That's what he's trying to do. You got to keep things in order. Who's the boss? That's right. You guys hear me talking about the fire department all the time. I know who the boss is. The chief's the boss. I have officers that are above me. Those guys, I answer to them. I never step out of my space. I got too much stuff going on in my personal life to sit there and want to take any authority in that. I'm just a hose dragger, and I kick in doors and peel off roof car tops. That's all I'm there to do. I don't want to be anything else. I'm here to do what everybody else tells me to do. It's not about me. What I do understand, it's about whatever situation somebody gets themselves into, my job and everybody else around and their job, and that's why they volunteered for it, is to get those people out of there and give them the best possible, highest level of care that we can do. That's the mission. It's not about me. Who am I to sit there and be able to buck somebody? What opinion does mine... If I have an opinion, it is irrelevant 99.9% of the time, unless I'm seeing something that they're not seeing. You do not test the Lord. You do not say, you know, like what Satan said here, throw yourself down. Is he going to save you? You're not going to test him. It's a authority thing. Who's the boss? I continue. Again, the devil took him along a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil said to him, Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to serve him. So let's back up here a little bit. All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. So the prize was, if you worship me and you say I'm the boss and you reject your father, I'll give you everything, all of it. And I believe Satan meant it. I'll give it all to you. I don't think Satan was bluffing. You may have it all, and I'm going to give it to you. And Jesus' response was, get away from me, Satan. You are to worship the Lord your God only. As we read every single Sunday morning, and the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word is God. The Word is our roadmap. Nothing else matters. Nothing else has any more higher authority than the Word of God, the Bible, and that's it. And Jesus said, get away from me. You aren't the boss. My Father is. And that's it. But the interesting thing in there, Satan said, I will give it to you. That's what he said. I will give it to you. Well, what if Satan can give it to you, what does that mean? Then he must have possession and authority over it. That's the only thing that it can mean. The only thing is, if you bow your knee to Satan, and if I bow my knee to Satan, sin is fun for a little while. Sin is fun when you don't really recognize all the consequences of it. It's not a generational preservation of a country. It is a great time for the person that committed it. They get to have all the fun. They're not thinking about 3 and 4 and 5, 6 generations down the road after they're gone, even though if they submit to Satan, they're handing all that. That's what Adam and Eve got us in. Like, Adam and Eve are the ones that allowed him to have the authority over the world in the first place. But as we know in the Bible, as time goes on, and when Jesus steps in and kicks them out in the end, it won't be so. Because actually, it belongs to Satan. The problem in the scenario that we are living in with today is my rebellion, your rebellion, and not submitting fully and completely to the Word of God. This country's problem is rebelling to the authority of Jesus Christ. They don't want his political system. If they actually, you know, they don't even believe it exists anymore. They don't, they say it was tacked upon the cross because the authority belongs to Satan right now. He's the one running the politics. I mean, just look at what's going on right now over in the strait over there in Iran. bombing again. Trump's over there saying we only got 3 or 4 weeks of oil reserves. Is that America first? Is that MAGA mentality? Is it? Is this leading our country into a direction that a Christian should want to be in? I mean, they're Muslims. We're sitting there, we're fighting this war right now on the state of Israel, who's nothing more than Esau. We're flipping the bill. I heard a figure in this war in Israel, there hasn't been a single Israeli casualty as far as the soldiers over in Iran. Meanwhile, we're, I don't even know, probably 20, 25, 400, 500 wounded. For what? For what? For the security of a bunch of Antichrist Jews that hate his name, that spit? It's like Jesus said in John, you are of your father, the devil. They said, we're of Abraham. We're not illegitimate children. Jesus agreed with them. The only guy that I could be is Esau. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Got a little bit different verbiage of the possessor of the authority over the earth. Luke chapter 4, I kind of have mixed feelings about the book of Luke, but anyways, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days, and when it was ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. In Matthew it says, but by every word of the mouth of God. Well, what's that? It's our Bible. We know the words. We know the word. That's why it's called the word. Verse 5. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to them, I will give you all this dominion and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. There it says it right there in Luke. For it has been handed over to me. How did it get handed over? For rebelling and not doing what God said. All the way back there in Genesis. What did he say to Eve? You shall not surely die. She looked at the fruit. It was desirable to gain knowledge. She took it, she ate, she gave it to her husband, and he took and ate as well. And that is how it was handed over to him. We actually have a way better deal with this new covenant. We can take authority. We don't need to, have a prophet and, hold us by the hand. We have the Bible. We know if we do good and have good conduct, we will do well in life. We know if we speak to our neighbors and convince them, there's a lot of unconvincing that we have to do of what they're convinced of right now, all in false teaching from what's behind the pulpits, and they are doing the bidding of their father, the devil, and keeping this false system going, well, not false system. It's actually a true system. I think I heard Pastor Peters say one time, well, thank God for the Babylonian system, because the way our people act, would they be out there and, they wouldn't have anything running right, and they wouldn't, I mean, honestly, I sit there and I look at some of the building codes that are up nowadays, and thank God we got them, because there's so many hacks out there that would just slap and tack, as my dad used to say. Stuff together. I mean, the system that we have is a comfortable system. We give half the honor to God and half the honor to Satan. We're double-minded. We got one foot on one side of the fence and another foot on the other. Jesus said, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. Israelites just know that name of Jesus Christ, when you hear it, the buck stops there. That's just how it is. And I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. So he owns it. The only reason why he doesn't own it is because the people, the bride of Christ, Israel, the Israelites, the multitude of nations, let him have it. We're all fat and happy. Things ain't too bad. Meanwhile, our governments are going around just butchering people, bombing the daylights out of them. For what? For what? The security of the older brother Esau? He ain't spending a dime. I bet all them Christian pulpits this morning are just like, go, go, go. I mean, but the younger generations aren't so hip to that old sandbox over there. But I tell you what, them boomers, them baby boomers, as a generation as a whole, they sure do love it, you know. Talk about a greedy group of people. You know, boomers around in this ministry, I mean, they're the exception because they know they had a, you know, the ones that all taught me, like Pastor Peters and all them guys, they were the exception. They were the few. I mean, you want to talk about the few, the remnant, like those guys were remnant. And then, like, what I'm seeing with these younger generation, like, they can't stand them. They can see how fake they are. Just go on TikTok and see what some of those guys are saying. Because they know, these young Israelites out there, I mean, the law is written in their heart. They've had horrible teaching. They don't understand authority and this and that, but they just know it's not right. And you sit there and you look at, like, guys in my generation, I'm a Generation Xer, and the boomers, and they all sit there and they say, you know, these young guys, they don't want to work and blah, blah, blah. And they just sit there and they dog them, you know. And it's like, well, we live in America. You can still make yourself anything that you want to be. But what kind of training has the boomers and Generation X offered them? I mean, just sit there and you think about it. They've offered them Judeo-Christian values, which leads to destruction. They, you know, Judeo-Christian values literally disregard of his law. This is their teaching that they've let in. This is their teaching that they've accepted because it was refreshing. It was acceptable. It made them feel good. And now we're 50, 60, 80 years into this teaching and everything's going down the toilet. You see what these kids have to do in order to buy a house? $400,000 house ain't getting them squat. Meanwhile, all the guys that are established like myself and older, over there, they're going to be like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? 8% interest. They don't want to have kids because it's so expensive. I mean, I don't blame them. And then everybody says that they don't want to work. They don't want to work. Well, why would you? Where's the reward? You know, sitting there, a couple guys in my area, they're Dutch. And I don't know who all listens to this, but the Dutch have a reputation. I'm actually half Dutch. My mom's full-blown Hollander. And the Dutch are notorious cheapskates. They want all your time, and they don't want to reward you for it. And there's a few dairy farmers that I talk to and that I know, they're still hanging on. And what I mean by that, they got 250 cows that they're milking, which nowadays is itty-bitty. And they're always complaining about people that don't want to work. I said, well, one guy, I know him pretty good. I said, what are you starting him out at? Well, $9 an hour. You know, you pay him every other week. One guy I know pays once a month and $9 an hour. And then they're giving him 10 hours a week. And then they give him a W-2. Nobody wants to work. These kids can't even pay gas for their cars. And you think that they're the problem? You have lost your mind. What is the most, like, you can't just sit there and keep asking somebody to work, go over and over and give them nothing and then sit there and think that he's the problem. How is it any different with these churches, 70, 80 years removed with these holy rollers, these tongue talkers? And look at, look at the position our country's in right now. What's there even motivated about? I mean, it's your guys' doctrine that led us to this. And then you sit there and you say, oh, the pastor so-and-so or pastor so-and-so, they're right. Everything's going to hell in a henbasket because the prophets. Well, what's the mechanism of it? The disregard of the law. Well, who taught that? The same pastor that you love and that you snuggle up and that you pay $250,000 a year to feed you these lies. And it's a nationwide epidemic. It's a worldwide epidemic. Why? Because just like it said in Luke chapter 4, it's been handed over to me. We gave it to him because of us following after false God, just like Ahab and Jezebel did. And that's what we're getting into next week. Now I'm out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace.
It is time for Scriptures from America. From America, Colorado and Wyoming, Rocky Mountains of the Wild West, comes the Word of God from the cowboy salt of the earth, logic and wisdom of circuit riding preacher Peter Peters. Nestled in the Laramie Valley of wild, windy Wyoming, near Laramie, Wyoming, sits a working cattle and horse ranch known as the Radio Ranch. At the Radio Ranch, Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters broadcasts live nightly worldwide on shortwave radio, satellite, and internet on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching Europe, Australia, Russia, South Africa, and more. Jesus Christ came to the common man, and the Radio Ranch common cowboys still ride and reach out with the Christian message. Pastor Peters and his Radio Ranch Wranglers ride for the brand and the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pastor Peters grew up in the West in the cowboy tradition and is still cowboy. An ex-rodeo and trick rider, Pastor Peters is now a circuit riding preacher and teacher in both Wyoming and Colorado. He has preached at the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, for the past 30 years. Like the holy prophets of old, he does not spare the truth of God's Word as he lovingly tells it with a take-it-or-leave-it common sense cowboy logic. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peters.
Well, howdy again. Greetings to my audience over there in Europe. And you might say, what are you up to this time, circuit riding preacher Peters? I want to tell you about this calf. Now, as of this feeding, just a second, might not have been the best idea in the world. I'm going to tell you about this calf. First of all, let me tell you, get this out of her range here. Let me tell you about this calf, and let me tell you about who I am. This is our second episode as we go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be damned. Now, we praise God that we're going into the world with this broadcast into the area of Europe. And as I said in the last broadcast, we don't have to speak in tongues to get to you, though you do not have my native tongue. It's being interpreted into your language there in the Ukraine, there in Russia, and all those countries over there. And I'm over here in Wyoming at the Wyoming Radio Ranch. I broadcast all over the world from this ranch as a circuit riding preacher. I also preach at our little church in Colorado, which is just over the Colorado-Wyoming border. I didn't think I'd tell you, but this ranch is at about 7,200 feet elevation. We sit in the Laramie River Valley. I am Pastor Peters, your preacher and teacher. I've got 30 years of experience. I've got plenty of degrees as well. And I think in this study, we're going to tell you one of the reasons why the Lord picked the boys off the dock, so to speak, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's face it, old Peter and some of them boys were fishermen, the common man. The common man is where you're going to find some common sense, and we need some common sense when it comes to the Word of God, and that's what you're going to get here from this circuit-riding preacher from the Radio Ranch here in Wyoming. Now, as of this filming, old Grula Girl, that's that colt we looked at, she's still a-kicking, and I'm still praying over her. That calf there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that calf. Now, that calf a year ago was a bum. And when we talk about a bum calf over here, what we're talking about is one don't have a mama. We just found him out in the field. I don't know what happened to his mama. Probably like some of these modern-day women lib babes, except she was a cow, and she took off and did her own thing, and so we had to take that calf and bottle feed him, and he never did get mama's milk. We had to give him milk replacement, and I didn't do it. I took that calf down to one of my grandchildren, and the grandchildren started bottle feeding him, feeding her. It's actually a heifer, and her name is Kathy, and this is her little buddy here. This is a little miniature Jersey we're going to raise for a milk cow. And I asked my granddaughter, what do you call that calf? And she says, we call him Kathy. Now, old Kathy hasn't had milk. Old Kathy hasn't had milk for, close to a year. How am I going to do this? I'll lay this down over here. But I want you to see something. Now, old Kathy hasn't had milk, but old Kathy still will take that milk. Now, I read to you last week from 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And so, this old calf, he doesn't drink milk anymore. I didn't know if she would be drinking milk or not. I figured she would, just like she's doing right now. Because she now eats grain. Let's see if she's... I'll give you an idea of how she eats grain here. She wants that milk. I want you to know something that... I read you another scripture. It was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. By the way, did you do your homework? You were supposed to have read one of the Gospels, and then the first two chapters of the book of Acts. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul makes mention of, I gave you milk and not solid food, because you weren't ready for solid food. When you are a disciple coming in to the way, now Christianity was first called the way. You'll read about that in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 19. It wasn't, Christianity's not a religion, by the way. It's a way of life. And sometime we'll tell you the difference between a way of life and a religion. I know the world calls it a religion, but it was called the way to begin with. And you got to get started somewhere. And your first start in a trail drive, first step, you got to get started somewhere. And I started you off by having you read with me John 1:1. Remember? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the wind is blowing here in Wyoming. It blows here pretty regularly. I'm getting kind of, I think I fed this calf enough. How about charismatic wrangler Kyle coming over here and taking this thing? Here, Kathy. He wants some milk. Now, see, now this is the solid food. Now, when that calf first came into this world, he couldn't handle this grain that he's eating right here, right now. Now, I want you to know that that's a lot the way it is with the Word of God. You've got to start off with the milk of the Word. And then you can progress to the solid food. Let me read the scripture I was telling you about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you are still fleshly. There's solid food in this word. And as I pointed out in way of review of the last message, every discipline has basics that's got to be taught to the disciple. The illustration I gave was take the discipline of mathematics. You take a man that's working in calculus and figuring out things in statistical terms. There was one time in his life he had to learn the numbers. one, two, three, four, just like my grandchildren are right now. But someday they're going to learn that you can add those numbers, you can subtract those numbers, you can divide those numbers and multiply, and then there's a thing called algebra. There's a whole host of things, but you've got to learn the basics. Now, point is, get the Word of God in your life yourself. Don't just let someone tell you what is in the Word. Oh, there's a whole lot of someones out there that would be more than happy to have you listen to them. And there's churches today that they don't want you to read the Word. They want you to come to their priests, and the priests will tell you what's in the Word or what the doctrine of the church is. And I want you to do what they did in Acts 17:11. Remember we read that last time? We're going to read it again. Acts 17, verse 11. Let me find it for you. Talking about those in Berea being more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Let me read it. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. The point is that God calls it a very noble-minded thing to examine what this preacher or some priest or some teacher is saying with the word. Now, here's the point that I want to get across next as I'm discipling you, and that is, if I say one thing and the word says another thing, which one are you going to believe? And you'd better give me the right answer. You better believe here the Word of God. Now, some of you are saying, well, how do we know that that Bible is the Word of God? And I say, glad you asked. If you keep coming to these broadcasts, I'll tell you. There's a way you can be sure that it is the Word of God. But I'll tell you right now, it is the Word of God. And if I say something that is contrary to the Word, you go with the Word, and there would be a whole lot of wolves in sheep's clothing put out of business if there was more. Now, let's get along here. If there was more of that being done. Did you talk about it being done? Did you do your homework? Did you read a gospel and then the first two chapters of the book of Acts? Now, the reason I had you read the first two chapters of the book of Acts, because in Acts chapter 2, we have the scene where Christ ascends, and he leaves behind the men that he trained. Now, he picked the common man, the boys off the dock, because that's where you find common sense. It's not too common anymore, I realize that. But then he trained them. They still had to have a training. There's too many people out there all of a sudden that just, they end up just picking up the Bible, say, hey, follow me. A bunch of dumb sheep go, bah, bah. He said, oh, I'll follow this guy because all of a sudden he holds himself up as a teacher and a preacher. Don't do that. But at the same time, recognize that according to the Word of God, the church has a place for preachers and teachers. And if you're fortunate enough to be in a church that is patterned after the New Testament pattern of Scripture, I'm going to read a scripture here found in Ephesians. Because I want you to know that it is God's plan for there to be teachers and preachers. The winds are blowing out here, so I got to be careful how I do this. It says, and he gave some. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is the church. And the way you get into that church is just exactly the way Peter said to do it. The reason I wanted you to read Acts chapter 2 is because Peter was that common man that Jesus pulled off the dock and he said, Pete, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And when Jesus ascended and the apostles were left behind to go in all the world and preach the gospel, just like we're doing right now, he stood up before that crowd. It was on the day of Pentecost. Now you got to remember, 50 days before that, that crowd was yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And old Peter stood up there and whipped out his bony fisherman finger and he said to him in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, know this for certain that you have, I think it's verse 36, you have crucified the Son of God. And in verse 37, they said, what shall we do? Now, I want you to know something before we get to the answer to that, that Peter told them what to do. And you need to do that in order to get more out of this word. All I did in the first broadcast was to get you into the word, to start reading it, a little bit of it. And I'm assuming as this broadcast goes over in Europe, it's also going to be heard on the North American continent, that a lot of you understand still what it means to prime the pump, the old pump that used to have the handle, and I guess some of you might still have such pumps over there. There's not many of them over here anymore. But sometimes the leathers on that pump will get dry, and then you're sucking air. And so you got to pour a little water down to get those leathers wet, and so you can start pumping. And that's what you call priming the pump. And what I did in the last broadcast was sort of prime the pump to get you to read, to get, wet your appetite, so to speak. But now, if you really want to get things out of this word, you've got to have a helper, because there are things in this word. It's not an ordinary book. As we pointed out last week, this book is a book of books. There's 66 books altogether. You have your Old Testament. You have your New Testament. We told you last week how the New Testament is divided. And by the way, don't make the mistake that so many people do and go around calling yourself a New Testament Christian. You need to be a Old Testament Christian. That means you take seriously what Jesus said. I pointed out to you last week, what was it, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's just exactly the way it is. Every word. That means the Old Testament word as well. I'm going to tell you this in advance. You cannot fully understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. So don't think that I'm trying to teach you to be a New Testament Christian. You need to be a Old Testament Christian. Now, where was I? Priming the pump. You need something in your life that will help you to understand the Word. And that's called the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know there's a bunch of you over there listening to some of these guys saying, oh yeah, you got to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Got to speak in tongues. Got to do this and that. But most of them are not telling you over there in Europe, just like they're not doing it over here on the North American continent, the very simple truth about baptism in water for the remission of sin, so that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think that's where we're going to go next, and that's in Acts chapter 2. That's why I wanted you to read Acts. Peter, the common man, was telling them because they were asking. This is what it says in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter, what did they hear? Peter said in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Now, all over the world, people are being told a lie. And they're being told, let Jesus come into your heart. Accept him as your personal Savior. I tell you what, next time somebody tells you that, ask them to show you that in the Bible. How about that? That's fair enough, isn't it? You know what? They can't. You know why? Because it's not there. Let me tell you what is there in answer to this question when they said, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let me tell you, they were believers. They knew that body had come out of that grave on the third day. And they knew they were guilty of 50 days earlier there on the day of that Passover yelling, crucify him, or thereabouts in Passover. And they said, what shall we do? They were believers. All believers are to repent. That means you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And that means you do it his way, not your way. Christianity was originally called the way. And Peter said, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that. Baptism is always, always by immersion in water, full submersion, not sprinkling, not pouring, not dry cleaning. They're immersed in water. And when they're raised up out of that watery grave, they have had their sins washed away by the blood of Christ, because that's where you contact it. And they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will assist you in understanding the Word. Now, that's how Christianity began. The way, right there. And I've just showed it to you. And we're about to run out of time already. And last week I showed you this postcard, remember? And I told you about what it was about. I would tell you what that's about. That postcard is what we call here in Wyoming. The caption underneath of it says, deprogramming a vegetarian. Deprogramming a vegetarian. We don't want vegetarians out here in this cattle country. We want you eating beefsteak. We don't want you eating beefsteak right yet, because a lot of you are not ready for solid food. You still need the milk of the Word. And if you do like beef, every now and then a good wholesome glass of milk is good for you. And I might go over to the Word of God, because there is some teaching out there that some people are supposed to be vegetarians. And there's a scripture in the Word. Let's see if I can find it real fast before time runs out. It's over there in 1 Timothy. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created be greatly shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Now, this is 1 Timothy 4. 3, and I want to tell you something, that vegetarianism is a doctrine of the demons. But there's physical food, there's spiritual food. And when it comes to spiritual food, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, there's the milk of the Word, there's the meat of the Word, as we summarize this study. And if you want to understand the Word of God better, you've got to do what Peter said, that common fisherman. And see, she wants more food. You can't have any more food. I've had enough. We're about out of time, girl. This is old Kathy. But there was a time she had to have, she couldn't have made it if we didn't have somebody to give her milk. Now she can eat milk and solid food. Don't let somebody keep you as a vegetarian. We want you started off on the milk. A lot of people have been in church pews all their life, and they just sit there and pew. And they're still on Pablin and having somebody change their diapers. We want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will not grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if you will not read the Word of God. If you want to be a disciple, then you have to be disciplined. And that means you have to discipline your life to make sure you read the Word of God daily. And so I think we're about out of time with that. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift His countenance upon you and grant you peace. And remember, when it comes to the Word, slurp it till you burp it. We'll see you next time, okay?
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That was episode 2 of Scriptures from America, recorded, a long, long time ago. As we go to communion. I know looking at the clock that we went over a few minutes, but the message, the law, part two, which is what we're going to have coming up next, it was short. So so I figured it'd be a good time to play another one of those messages. The scripture that I wanted to read for communion today is found in Isaiah 53. And I've been going through and reading the book of Isaiah and encourage you guys out there to do the same. It is a really, I've been really getting a lot out of it as of recently. It just seems like it's really talking to me, and I've really enjoyed it. And would encourage you to spend some time in the book of Isaiah. But in chapter 53, I'm going to start with verse 3. It says, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being, for our well-being, fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquities of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth." Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come remembering and claiming the truth. Those were the strokes that were due us, Father. And we're grateful, Father, for the deliverance that you give us through the shedding of blood, through the breaking of the body, through that cross at Calvary. Lord, we come before you and we ask, Father, that as we partake of communion today, that you redeem us out of the hands of the enemy. Redeem us from the sins that we've committed. Redeem us from our wicked ways. Oh Lord, let us be cleansed and purified by doing as instructed. Oh Lord, we thank you, Father, for this communion meal. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. You may partake.